Our Bible study tonight is out of Acts chapter 10, verses 24 to 48, God's pattern for world evangelism. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn a lot about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, 24 to 48 provides God's pattern for world evangelism, and it provides insight into what the Lord wants to do and what he expects us to do in realizing this goal. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I'd like to read it, and then we'll look at it. Acts 10, 24 to 48. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his family and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, stood him up, and saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know that it is unlawful for a thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with or come into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came to you without questioning, as soon as it was sent for me. I asked, therefore, for what intent you have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seashore, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I sent unto you, and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded you of God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he has him that feareth him and worketh righteousness. He is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that as he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with other languages and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they, that would be the Cornelius and his household, requested that he would stay with them for certain days. Okay, this is a tremendous pattern. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, you'll recall that Jesus had predicted that he would give the keys to the kingdom to Peter, and he would open the door for people to enter it. Now, that was partly fulfilled in Peter's evangelizing Jews on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 14 to 41, and Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 25. However, Peter still needed to be used of God to open the door to the Gentiles. Well, that's a big step. You've got an Orthodox Jew who's been raised not to have anything to do with Gentiles, not to be in their home, not to eat with them, nothing like that. And you're going to have him go and minister to these other people. That's a stretch. You know, it's interesting. We have a stretch today. God tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And there are some countries that go into, like New Guinea or others, where the culture is so different, the language is different. You wonder, how in the world are you going to, you know, start on first base, so to speak, to get the gospel out to these people? How do you minister to them? That's a big, big challenge. Well, it's interesting. This passage is a pattern for outreach, specifically for missions. But I really believe it's outreach as a basis for evangelizing anybody, whether it's a friend that we have, or a relative, or a next-door neighbor, or someone across town. It's a tremendous pattern. The way God worked to get the Hebrew Peter to evangelize Gentiles in Acts 10 provides us God's pattern for how he meant to evangelize the world in the era of the church. Now, I say this advisedly because I was raised in the mission field. My parents are missionaries in Africa. And my dad was responsible for 17 years, he worked on recruiting people to go to Africa, and not only that, to South America, other places, because SIM broadened its scope. So, the principles that I see in this passage are principles my dad found were true, that I found from observing missionaries and missions. They're completely universal. First, God prepared the Gentiles to be receptive to Peter's ministry of the gospel. That is really important. God has to work in the hearts of these people. God gave the Gentile Cornelius a vision on contacting Peter to hear a message from him. That's recorded in verses 29b to 32. Cornelius had responded to this vision by sending messengers to Joppa to get Peter and filling his house with relatives and friends who waited to hear Peter's message when he came. I can tell you story after story after story, especially in Ethiopia and other places too, where there were people who were earnestly desiring to get deliverance from bondage to the spirit world, deliverance from fear. A lot of people, especially in pagan countries, lived in absolute fear, or people wanting liberation from the bondage that they were in to Islam, wanting that and desiring it. And they were so ready when a missionary came, even with a different culture, different background, and explained the gospel to them of how they could have peace with God, how they could have freedom and from guilt and sin. They were so ready. They were open to that, even though many times the missionary was blowing it culturally, wasn't saying it the right way, was blowing the language, but they were able to get the information and they responded to it. But you have to have the preparation of the heart in the people to receive. There's no question about it. And that's something we have to look to the Lord for. Second, God prepared Peter to evangelize the Gentiles in Cornelius's home. The Lord had also begun to prepare Peter to evangelize the Gentile Cornelius by giving Peter a vision about eating animals that had formerly been banned for him under the law. That's in Acts 10:9-16. When Peter wondered about the application of the vision, the Holy Spirit directed him to meet the three Gentile men whom Cornelius had sent to find him at Simon the Tanner's house. Peter then learned from these messengers about Cornelius's vision directing him to hear God's message from Peter. So Peter knew God wanted him to evangelize Cornelius's Gentile people. It's interesting, they said, we're supposed to send for a man by the name of Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, that's information that is very particular, and that would have sent a signal to Peter, these people got this message from God. There's no other way. There's a witch doctor one time who had a dream about missionaries coming, and that they had a book that was gold. The missionaries were presenting the wordless book, all right? The last page is the gold page. The missionary got to the gold page. The witch doctor about had a conniption. He says, this is my dream. This is the vision. And he told his people, this is the truth. Believe it. And the whole village accepted Christ as their Savior. So God has ways of communicating in such a way that the people who are receiving the message, the people who are giving the message, know that this is from the Lord. And that has to be from the Lord. This is why it's very, very important. Well, when Peter arrived at Cornelius' home and heard the report of Cornelius' vision, he realized that God had wanted him to go to them to evangelize them opposite his past reservations from the law. So as Peter starts to give the gospel, he's got no question at all. These people are open. These people have been prepared by the Lord. The Lord has prepared him to speak. So he opens his mouth and he speaks. Now, what does he do? Peter presented the gospel of Christ's salvation to the Gentiles. He simply rehearsed the history of Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection, and told of the remission of sins through faith in him. See, what Peter did, Peter has known Jesus since he was called by the Lord Jesus when he was fishing, okay? So he goes back to that time. He fast forwards, goes through the baptism of John, gets up to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and then he just happens to mention, yes, remission of sins, the taking away of sins is available if you believe in him. Now, what's fascinating, Peter did not say, now you got to pray to receive Christ. He didn't have an altar call, none of that. He's just simply giving the gospel, and all of a sudden, something happens. The instant Peter was giving the gospel, Peter's Gentile listeners were justified by God apart from any human manipulation. The instant Peter told of the remission of sins through faith in Christ, the Gentiles who were listening to him believed in Christ, and the Holy Spirit consequently fell on them. They started speaking and speaking in tongues. Now, this would have been a tremendous shock. It would have been a shock to Peter. It was a shock to these other people, and a shock to the Jews who were present. But the fascinating thing is these people were saved by faith. They were believing what Peter was saying. And as soon as he got to faith in Christ, remission of sins, they believed it. As soon as they believed it, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they interrupted Peter, and they started speaking in tongues. And Peter is shocked. The Jews present are shocked because here you got Gentiles who aren't even circumcised, and they're speaking in tongues. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who had dwelt the Shekinah glory in the holiest of holies, and now he's indwelling Gentiles. It took a generation for the Jewish Christians to see that this was of God, but Peter saw it right away. It's an amazing thing that God did. Well, Peter gave no altar call. He had no order to pray to receive Christ. The Gentiles simply trusted in Christ. This is why I don't give altar calls. I don't have people pray to receive Christ. I ask people to believe in Christ. A lot of times people think they're saved because they walked the aisle, or they think they were saved because they prayed. No, those actually are works, and that's a subtle false form of the gospel. So I want to stay away from that, so I avoid that at all costs. I just tell people, believe in Christ. And that's how people come to know the Lord. Fifth, Hebrew believers recognized the spiritual fruit of the Gentile converts. The Hebrew believers present were stunned to witness these new Gentile believers supernaturally speak in other languages, magnifying the Lord just as the Hebrew believers had done on the day of Pentecost. But you see, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews on the day of Pentecost did the same thing. Holy Spirit came on, they started speaking in other languages, even their Gentile languages. And here are these Gentiles doing the same thing. And they're in shock, but they have no question. The Holy Spirit's in them. I mean, the same the sign that God gave through them, he's giving through them, through the Gentiles. So Peter, seeing the evidence of the salvation of the Gentiles, the Hebrew believers baptized him. Peter asked if anyone could forbid believers' baptism to Gentile converts who had received the Holy Spirit like the Jews had done back in Acts 2. And of course, the answer is a resounding no. So, accordingly, Peter commanded they be baptized in the name of the Lord as part of the church, and that included them in the church. Now, baptism is not as important to us Gentiles as it is to Jews. If you are baptized, let's say you're a Jewish man, and you get baptized, and you have Jewish family members, many times that's when the family disowns you, because that's when you're a Christian. Because that's, in a Jewish mind, that's where you're really coming out. I knew a friend by the name of Gary, who years ago, he was Jewish. And his parents, I think, owned a Jewish store, accepted Christ as a Savior. When he was baptized, they actually disowned him as their son, which is fascinating. He became a pastor, incidentally. And he's preaching the gospel, but wonderful, wonderful salvation. Very bold witness, this guy, Jewish fellow. Loved the Lord, but he paid for it with his family alienating him because he was baptized. But seventh, the Hebrew believers fellowshiped with the new Gentile believers, baptized converts. The Gentile converts asked that Peter stay with him for several days, and he did so. That would have been impossible with the old restrictions of the Mosaic law under which Peter had once lived. But Peter recognized he's not under those restrictions. So he's fellowshipping with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are Gentiles. Amazing. God's initial pattern for evangelizing the world involved his preparing the unreached to accept God's truth. That's very important. And second, he's preparing his messenger to evangelize the unreached. And three, he's having his messenger give the gospel without human manipulation. Having his messenger recognize the fruits of the true conversion in the hearers, followed by having his messenger baptize the converts in Christ's name and fellowship with them. So whether we evangelize our neighbors or send missionaries to the ends of the earth, may we follow the pattern that God initially established in Acts 10 for evangelizing the world for Christ in the era of the church. When I was in seminary, we had a man who had been involved in missions. Reverend Peters was his name. And I don't know where he quoted this from, but he said, they have done a study on missionaries, and they have found that you can take an individual and you can do a test, and you can find out whether he fits as an archaeologist, whether he's an architect and everything, but they have not found a test that you can take to see if a person's a missionary. The missionaries are from all over the place. But one thing about missionaries that God has used, and they have found this is true, just before the missionary leaves for the foreign field, he feels totally inadequate to do the job. And apparently that's exactly where God wants him. He wants him to feel completely inadequate so he relies on the Lord. Because it is, it's a supernatural work. You're going to a different culture, different language. You know you're going to make mistakes, you know. And you know you're going to be humiliated, but you go out of the love of Christ to reach these people for the Lord Jesus. But that's one of the requirements that they have, apparently. They have to recognize how completely helpless they are without the Lord. And that gets in the Lord's preparation of Peter. Peter was going into foreign territory for him. You know, he's going to visit Gentiles. He's going into their house. He probably doesn't know how to act, you know. That's why he's taking some fellow Jews with him, you know, in case he gets into trouble. But he's there, he gives the gospel, and shock upon shock, these people respond, they get saved, Holy Spirit comes upon them, and it's just a wonderful story. But it's a true story. But evangelism is the work of God. All we are fellow workers with the Lord. But it's got to be the Lord doing the work for us. Otherwise, we won't succeed.